Happy Valentine's Day, friends.
All right. Happy Valentine's Day.
Eddie and Sally here in your ear. Or if you're watching on YouTube, hello. As you can see,
hey.
I have some beautiful flowers and a little Valentine decoration that says you are so loved. I also have my Valentine mug. Yes, the McRae family, we go all out for every holiday. And the kids woke up this morning to some really cheesy Valentine lovey-dovey gifts and some squishies, little candy. We did a Valentine's breakfast. Eddie and I made the kids breakfast croissant sandwiches, egg, bacon, and cheese. We did a little yogurt with some berries on top, some orange juice, some coffee. We sat around the table. It was a wonderful way to start Love Day. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter if you have a sweetheart or not. I am so happy that you joined the podcast on this day. Well, actually, when we release it, it won't be Valentine's anymore. But I just like to say that every day is a day that you should feel loved. So we're just going to remind you that right now.
Yep.
Dive right into that. In fact, Eddie, I thought we'd just kick off the podcast by having you open up this card from me.
Oh, yeah?
You are going to open that up. You're going to read what it says inside, and we are just going to enjoy the message.
Really?
So, this is a surprise.
I am a
Eddie
little nervous.
Eddie had no idea that I was going to do this.
I'm a little nervous right now.
You know, you shouldn't be, because it's totally you.
Uh-oh.
This is just totally you.
I have to read this out loud.
Yeah, what does it say on the front?
You are sweet as can be.
You are sweet as can be.
Mm. Oh, no. Eddie, thank you for my beautiful roses and sweet card. I can't believe you are committing to making me breakfast in bed for a full year.
What?
What?
Oh, my God.
That's crazy awesome, because I get up at 5 a.m., which means you'll be up at 4 a.m. cooking in the kitchen. I just can't believe how amazing you are. Even after 100 years together, you still surprise me. This is the best Valentine's Day ever. Thank you for my gift. I'm already envisioning tomorrow morning's breakfast, which will likely be eggs over easy with extra crispy bacon. A side of medium toasted sourdough bread with the crust cut off and light butter. Mixed berries, fresh lemon water, and a latte with oat milk. You're the best. Love, Sally.
Babe, wow. I just wanted to let everyone know what an amazing partner I have.
That was very nice.
My husband is so thoughtful. And so I just thought I'd let everyone know what his Valentine's Day gift was. And, you know, just say thank you in a card. So
that is very nice of you to write that.
That's a full year of breakfast in bed. Are you kidding me? Gosh, you are. What a catch.
I'm the best. I'm the best. Oh, wow.
You heard it here first, folks. And thousands of people all over the world are going to be asking, how is the breakfast in bed routine going?
Crispy bacon. I will definitely make them really crispy for you.
Not only that, like 5 a.m. is pitch dark. Can you imagine?
Can you even try to eat all of that at 5 a.m.? Are you kidding me?
I can barely get myself to do lemon water.
Wow.
Just picturing an apron, a chef's hat. Rise and shine, buttercup. No, actually, this morning was really sweet. I came downstairs, and if you're watching the YouTube, you can see this sweet little bouquet of flowers. And when I came downstairs, Eddie had a fire going. He had music going. He was sipping his coffee. And I look over on the counter and I see this sweet bouquet of flowers and a card. And so I just like jumped in his arms, gave him a hug. And I was like, thank you so much. And we start chatting and he gets up. He went to make a pot of coffee for the both of us. And then I walk further into the kitchen and I see this huge bouquet of roses, a card, a flower, a balloon. And I go, wait a minute, you got me two bouquets? And he's like, no, the little one is for Mackenzie. And you had gotten your little card and everything. So that this, I'm displaying Mackenzie's little bouquet, which I just thought that was the sweetest thing.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that has been so important to Eddie since the time, I mean, from day one, since we had Mackenzie, is you would always say, I will always treat Mackenzie in a way that I hope she understands that she deserves to be treated.
Yep.
You know, by her husband one day, and or just anyone,
yeah.
You know, just that whole dating relationship journey for her to know that, you know, so you've always taken her out one on one and done these sweet little things for her. And I am envisioning this picture. I need to dig this picture up. When she was 3 years old, we got her in a little dress. I did her hair and you went outside and you picked a flower for her. And it was your first daddy-daughter outing together.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that you showed her, this is how you deserve to be treated. This is how special you are. And I don't ever want you to forget that you are uniquely and wonderfully loved. And just that hope and that prayer for her in her journey to have that confidence knowing that she is loved.
Yeah.
And I think the love of a father, having a dad that loves his kids so much, you know, both of our kids have really been able to experience that. In fact, last night you made sure Isaiah experienced that because both of you went to the store to buy flowers for me and Mackenzie, and you told him, buddy, you're not getting flowers.
No, I bought him last night and then I picked him up. He didn't go with me. I picked him up after at practice and he's like, oh, what are these for? I go, these are for mommy and Mackenzie. He goes, he looks in the back. He's like, oh, where's mine? I go, you're not getting any flowers from me, dude. He goes, well, what do I get? I go, I'll give you a big hug in the morning. I'll give you a big hug and I might even make you breakfast. He goes, what do we have for breakfast? I go, I don't know, whatever mommy makes.
Well, I always get the kids gifts. Nothing extravagant. I mean, usually I got them stuffed animals, some candy hearts.
Yeah.
I handwrite them cards. And I just feel like these little traditions that we've been doing for them since they were little ones,
mm-hmm.
little tiny kids, they're just little mainstays in our family that they actually appreciate, they look forward to. But I've always thought as a mom, what were all the things that I loved that my mom did? And mm-hmm. she would do stuff like that. And she was so good, even though we didn't have a lot growing up, she was so good about doing what she could with what we had to make us feel special. Sometimes that was, you know, handwritten signs and handwritten cards, and she would bake cookies or, but I love that because you knew that she was being thoughtful of you. She thought of you and thought, how can I make these kids feel special? How can I let them know they're extra loved? And so I just think that's so important. You know, our kids don't need a lot of stuff,
mm-mm.
but what they do need is to be reminded every day that they are loved and that they are thought of, that they are cherished, that they are valuable. And that doesn't take a lot of material possessions to
yeah.
do that. So, you know, we've never done extravagant gifts for things like this, but it's just little sprinklings of, hey, we think you're pretty awesome. And
yeah, it's just another day to remind them of how much they're loved, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the goal. I mean, I know I'm not a huge like holiday guy. You know, I know
you weren't before you met me.
Well, now I've been forced to be. But I mean, I like honestly, like if you know, if it wasn't for you, I can take it or leave all, you know, these big holidays or whatever that the culture celebrates. And I mean, you do such a good job of making them a big deal, like you said, with your mom passing that on to you, and you're doing that obviously with the kids. But I mean, I can, it's not a huge, huge deal to me. I do feel like, you know, Valentine's Day is just another day to express your love, you know, to you and to the kids. And
yeah, some people say it's the greeting card day, actually.
Yeah, right.
It's a business like, day.
Yeah. And so I obviously, you know, try to do that on this day, obviously. But, you know, I know there's a big, I was actually reading last night, I know there's a big movement of like the anti-Valentine's Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't read that one yet.
It was, it's been, I guess, for a few years, like it's a big movement. And, you know, because obviously today is a day where it could be lonely too, right? Where there's people that they don't feel loved, or they don't have a spouse or a boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever. And so they feel extra lonely on these days, and especially with social media, right? Mm-hmm. Like in this article I actually read, it said a lot of kids, high school kids, delete Instagram for the 13th to the 15th. So they don't want to see, like, you know, their friends doing fun things with their boyfriends and girlfriends, and because they have this, you know, association with loneliness and depression and stuff. But, you know, so it is, we recognize that it's a made up holiday in a sense to, you know, for the culture to make money. But, we do know that there's some people out there that, you know, either hate today or they feel lonely today or whatever. But hey, that's why we're here. We're here to encourage you and to love on you.
Invite you in.
Yes.
We'll love on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
My favorite, back to the anti Valentine's Day, my favorite quote, I guess they sell a lot of stuff on Etsy, that it's like a kind of this growing market of like these shirts that are very anti-Valentine's Day. And the one that I read, it said fries before guys. They're like, we're not going on dates, fries before guys. I was like, I can get behind that one.
Yeah,
I
know fries are your all-time favorite thing.
Yeah, so anyways, yeah, so shout out to some of those that are out there that maybe don't like today.
Yeah,
Valentine's Day.
So. Absolutely.
We love you.
Yeah, I mean, it should be love day every day.
That's right, that's right. Yeah. Speaking of, I wanted to share a couple, like I've been doing lately, some love that people have for the podcast.
Okay.
You know, this one comes from Apple, from Francine Luna. She said, words of wisdom and role models I needed. She said, I have been listening to the Choose Strong podcast with Sally and Eddie for a couple of months now. It's fantastic. Sally and Eddie are like the parents I don't have. I've struggled in my early adult years to find words of wisdom and mentors to replace parental figures, and a podcast can't replace where a parent should be, but their words of wisdom help me think about life more clearly, and they give me snippets of knowledge each episode. This podcast has changed my perspective on life. I lost a younger sibling to suicide last year, and it tore up my heart to pieces. The only way I've known to cope through those painful childhood memories and his passing is through movement. I think best when I move. But when I tore my ACL and my meniscus playing rugby, I quickly lost my coping mechanism, and I needed to learn new ways to move while my knee was healing. So I started biking and doing PT and yoga. Several months later, finally back to running smaller distances, and I have Eddie and Sally in my ears the entire time. They are truly an inspiration and helped me out on one of the darkest times of my life. I hope you find their podcast as meaningful as I have. It's an honor to get to listen to this couple. Very powerful. Very powerful.
Thank you for sharing that. It's messages like that that really hit home. I think a lot of people can relate in many ways to that.
Yeah, that was very powerful. And we thank Francine for listening and being encouraged and for sharing that. That was pretty powerful. Another one I have here is from Apple as well. Is from Happy Customer 44. She does nice things for others, and I can't read the rest of the title. But anyways, it says, I usually try to avoid listening to audiobooks and podcasts in the car because I've almost always got my young kids with me, and the language and the content isn't always appropriate. But I've been listening to this podcast in the car because I've just started it, and I'm sad I'm late to the game, and I can't get enough of it. And also because I think the message is good for anyone. My son recently made a comment that he really likes it because it seems like, in quotes, she does nice things for everyone and everyone does nice things for her. Thanks for giving me a podcast to inspire myself and my children.
That's really sweet.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. I think you reposted something like that, right? Or
that's
this one?
That's
maybe.
Super sweet.
Anyways, yeah, that's pretty cool that you're reaching little kids in the car. I love that. Love hearing that. Hmm. All right, another one. This one's from YouTube, from Toning Tony. Appreciate this podcast so much. I come from a pretty difficult family. It's given me so much hope that healthy, fun, and imperfect, but joyful families can be my reality. Forever thankful for you. Thank you for sharing that. Toning Tone. Tony Tone? Tony Tone Tone? Wait, wasn't that a band? Or no, was that a song? Tony Tone.
I don't know.
Maybe my rap.
It sounds like it could have been
hip hop
like
days.
Rap song.
All right, last one. Choose Strong Podcast Love. It's from Jen. I'm from YouTube. Love the podcast, and I've followed Sally's running journey for years. And since having my kids and turning 40, I've struggled to feel like a runner or part of the running community, since nearly all of my runs are done alone on my treadmill in the basement while the kids play nearby. I miss running with run clubs, doing races, and connecting with actual runners. But having your podcast and the community that you've created helps fill that gap. Yeah. I connect with Sally knowing you two ran at odd times, fitting miles in at various points of the day, often splitting up runs because of the kids' schedules. This time of motherhood is full of challenges and joy, choosing strong every day, doing the work, and getting my workouts done rather than perfect, thanks to the example you and Eddie set. Love you guys.
Mm-hmm. And what was her handle?
That was Jen.
Jen, thank you so much for that. I feel you. I remember those days so well. I remember the kids hopping in with me in the garage during some of my workouts.
I remember seeing the videos recently of that, right?
And taking the kids with me on the trails. I tried everything in those years before they went to preschool, and then when one was in preschool and one was home, and just those limited hours where you get to yourself. And a lot of times, I know as a mom, any hours that I got to myself, it was trying to catch up on laundry and prep for dinner and, you know, keep up with the house and just the everyday things that we have to check off our list, and then trying to find the energy and the time to get a workout in. It does bring a lot of challenges. Mm. I also know those seasons, they go by so fast.
They go by quick.
And learning how to make your workout schedule and just everything fit in a way that's authentic to you, that doesn't stress you out. Yeah, it means that sometimes you're doing 2 and 3 workouts a day just to get 8 miles accomplished, and there's nothing wrong with that. And hats off to the parents that are working through that busy season right mm-hmm. now. Your work is not in vain. Our children are our greatest gifts, and they're watching everything you do. And what is so cool now that our kids are going to be turning 16 and 18 next month in just a few weeks.
Yep.
What's so cool is that our children have so many memories of us running out on the trails together, lifting in the garage, and joining us.
Yep.
And that's just a natural part of their childhood. And now they see that is just that's just what you do in life is we take care of our bodies and we move our bodies and we try hard things. And at the same time, we include our families. So well done, Jen. Keep working hard. And I hope that you're able to connect with some runners and get out for races and, you know, a run club here and there. I know I rarely could too during those seasons. And when I did, man, I really appreciated it. Pausing here for a quick message from Inside Tracker. The path to better health isn't rocket science, it's health science. For something as valuable as your health, there's no reason to leave anything to chance. So whether you want to improve your heart health, cognition, metabolism, sleep, stress levels, or overall health span, Inside Tracker reveals the exact areas of your health that need improvement through comprehensive blood testing, DNA analysis, sleep and fitness tracker data, and your current daily habits. Inside Tracker's scientists have shifted through the research so that you don't have to. So stop playing guessing games. When it comes to your health and longevity, you can save 20% on all of Inside Tracker tests with the code SALLY at checkout.
All right, speaking of Jen, we have a Jenny up next, and I handpicked her Facebook post from the Facebook community group, and I wanted to highlight her and her strong body, strong mind, because she said this. About 6 weeks ago, I happened to come across Sally's YouTube video, Mind Over Miles, and I decided to go on my first run in years, and I mean years. I couldn't run any longer than a minute without having to stop and walk that day. Today, I ran 20 minutes, 1.4 miles, without stopping. I've never been able to do that. I am beyond grateful for the empowering words and motivation that I get from Sally and Eddie. Strong body, strong mind. Jenny, big props to you. That is pretty amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love that. The hardest part is starting.
Yeah.
And
for
especially
sure.
when, I mean, I know that that testimonial that you shared last week of that guy that ran 200 yards and he threw up.
Yep.
Things like that scare us away. We don't like being uncomfortable. Mm. And it's so easy to compare ourselves in our journey. We think it's not great, it's not worthwhile, it's not valuable unless it looks like him, unless yeah. it looks like her, and unless it's at their pace, their distance. And we have to, in a way, almost discipline ourselves and remind ourselves that we all have a starting point. All of us had to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we went to a nice big Super Bowl party last weekend. Mm-hmm. We met a lot of new friends. And there's a couple people that were asking me about these 200-mile races.
Yeah.
And at one point, I had to pause and tell this woman, I was like, you know, I didn't start off as an ultra runner.
Yeah.
I wasn't born, you know, and a few years after that, I'm running 50 miles, 100 miles. Like, it took decades to get there.
Yep.
But the biggest piece in all of it was curiosity, wondering about it. So it was planted in my mind. And then just taking a chance to give it a try.
Yeah.
And it was so cool because her husband was part of that conversation, and he was saying how he always runs marathons.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a pretty fit guy. He loves to lift. And I looked at him and he's like, man, those races sound crazy. And I was like, you know, a 50K is only 5 miles longer than a marathon. That's an ultra. I go, I guarantee that you could do a 50K. Yeah, I don't know. And I was like, it only sounds crazy, but you've never tried it. So you can't really size it up unless you've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how everything is accomplished. It has to start with trying. And you have to be okay with not getting it right the first time. You have to be okay with being incredibly uncomfortable, just like these people who have written in, who've said, you know, I couldn't even run for a minute. I couldn't even run 200 yards without puking. And now both of those people have gone further.
Yeah.
And that is the most exciting thing. When you prove yourself wrong, when you realize that the fear and the stress and the doubts were all self-made.
Mm-hmm.
And letting go of those things and just saying, you know what? It might not go well, but I'm going to give it a try. And I'm going to keep on doing that and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And that is how we achieve great things. That is how we reach our full potential. And that's what makes life so exciting.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not just talking about in running and fitness. I know there's a lot of that all over the internet and on social media. We think we have to do physical feats. I mean, this is in every area of your life. This is in your relationships. If you're, you know, looking to find someone or to make your relationship better, you have to take risks. You have to have conversations. You have to change things up,
mm-hmm.
Put yourself out there. And that's really hard. And this is the same thing for in business, in career, in school. You know, I've had multiple conversations with people who are considering doing something different as a career. And that is really scary because maybe the job that you're currently in, it gives you security. It pays the bills. But it's not anything you like. You've grown tired of it as years go on. You dread it. You can't imagine yourself continuing to do it. But it pays the bills.
Yeah.
And it gives you that medical insurance, dental insurance. Gosh, who was it that I was just talking about this with? It was like last week. But one of the things I said was, you know, I've been there. I've been there where I've done a lot of jobs in my life that I didn't like. And the goal of doing those jobs was so that I could work on what I loved, what I was passionate about on the side, until that side job became my number one job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had 20 jobs before I became a professional athlete, before I started a podcast and a YouTube channel and wrote a book and had an app and started my coaching business. There were a lot of things that I did that I didn't like, that were uncomfortable, that I dreaded, that I wasn't good at, that I failed at. And so this idea of just trying, don't discount it until you try. It's so easy for us to size ourselves up in accordance of appearance because we don't look like someone, or because we don't possess maybe a certain amount of money or have the possessions or live in a certain place. And we really can be our greatest enemy in keeping ourselves from achieving what we are capable of. I don't think that most of us actually understand how much we truly are capable of doing. We hold ourselves back so much. So that's the good word for you today. Do not doubt yourself. Your mind is wondrous. And if you have imagined things, if things get you excited, if you keep wondering, if you have this curiosity, go after it. Just try it. You know, even if you fail, you're a little bit closer than had you never done it at all. And I'm all about failing over and over again to achieve something that you love and that you're really passionate about.
Yeah. I think I caught the tail end of that conversation when we were leaving, when you were talking to that guy, and I'm pretty sure he said, okay, I think I will sign up for that 50K. So you have a way of how somehow getting people to, sign up for marathons like the LA marathon. Yeah.
Well, that was Rob. And Rob, if you're listening, we go to the same gym. So if I see you, I will follow up.
Follow up. Be like, hey, Rob, putting in the work. Yeah. So, and I think too, like for Jenny here that ran 1.4 miles without stopping, you know, getting the inspiration from Mind Over Miles. I feel like when people watch those documentaries of you attempting these 200 mile races, you know, it's hard not to be inspired and encouraged to go out and, you know, run a few miles knowing that you, you know, went through some serious gnarly stuff to eventually finish 200 plus miles. Right. So it's hard not to walk away from watching those and feeling like I can go and start, I can go and, you know, attempt, something that I've never done before. So,
and listen, the thing about all of those documentaries from last year, the three, 200. We don't have one for Bigfoot. Our film crew couldn't be there. We tried to get some footage. I don't know if anything will ever come from that. But I would have loved to put out some race videos that just made me look strong and amazing and well put together and blazing fast the entire time. And yeah, you're getting a snapshot of these races because these documentaries are 30 to 40 minutes. And those races lasted 70 to 80 hours.
Right.
So you're getting a small glimpse into what that journey was like. But I did have a few moments of reflection last year where I thought, wow, it's been a humbling journey. It was a very public, humbling journey. After I did Cocodona and shredded my feet, I thought I could attempt the Grand Slam in 2024. Heal up, figure this out, do better. But as is with anything, we are never guaranteed tomorrow. And the opportunity was presented to me last year. And so was I going to do the best with what I had at that time in that season? I was. What did that mean? Well, it meant that every race was going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I encountered different situations that added to the discomfort and ultimately some gnarly acute pain.
Yeah.
But we got to every finish line and I learned a lot. And I think that when you watch somebody else struggle and still achieve something, it's actually far more relatable.
Sure.
Than someone that just has this smooth, blazing fast, perfect race and finishes triumphantly.
Yeah.
And so that was one part that I was able to appreciate, because the routine message, the routine response has been, wow, you make me feel like I can do something too. Mm. And there's nothing that makes my heart happier than that.
Yep.
I was listening to Sunday morning, the kids had stuff, so we weren't able to get to church. So I was listening to a study, and the pastor was saying how pain so often is a valuable part of your life, a valuable part of your story. Don't waste it. And I thought, that's a really interesting perspective. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste the losses and the sadness and the setbacks. You are not lesser because of those situations. In fact, you are able to connect with more people because of it. You're able to come along somebody who maybe is just entering that phase of whether it's an illness, loss of a loved one, losing a job, a broken relationship. you're able to be a beacon of light and strength and hope because you've been there.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is if you're listening to this today, you have survived 100% of every challenge, setback, loss, sadness, and frustration in your life. You're here. And, you know, that it life is not what we expect it to be. And some of those things leave really deep scars and even make our stomach turn when we think about them. But we live in an imperfect world full of 100% imperfect people.
Mm-hmm.
And pain is a part of every single person's journey. So don't waste it. And that goes for the trying. So bringing all this back into the trying. When you try and you fail, when you try, it doesn't work out, when you feel embarrassed, when you feel like, oh my gosh, now I have critics and now people are going to second guess me or I look dumb or I feel like this, that is the path for every one of us. All of us feel that when we embark on something new. It's scary. It's unknown. But the reality is, and just through these films that we put out, if I can do it, you can do it too. There's nothing spectacular or you know, so special about my life and who I am that I was able to, you know, enter into the world of ultras. You know, nothing really earth shattering happened. It was just, I got curious.
Yeah.
And I thought I'm going to try them. And that was when my kids were babies. I'm going to give this a try. And as the years went on, I thought, well, I'm going to try that distance and I'll try that distance and I'll just keep going, keep trying. And it's been an up and down, you know, path. But if we are not afraid of failing, if we're not afraid of being uncomfortable because we understand that is actually what connects us as humans, then man, we can really gain a lot of boldness and confidence to keep trying and to keep going.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I have one more, and I honestly felt that this one clicked every box. Okay. Strong body, strong mind, strong love. So this is Laura Sample. Laura, I know we've talked about people running in like the snow and, you know, super cold conditions, but I'm pretty sure Laura wins on all levels.
Okay.
Her picture here is unbelievable. If you have not seen this in the Choose Strong community Facebook page, you've got to do yourself a favor and go check this out. So Laura said this: today on my long morning run, I was listening to the podcast number 45, running in unideal conditions. And I had to laugh because Eddie and Sally were giving kudos to people who run in the cold. And this morning I was enjoying 0 degrees Fahrenheit as we've had a cold snap that sent us to negative 55 Fahrenheit.
What?
And yep, we're still running in that in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh,
this is a picture of a post-run selfie after 4 hours spent in dark negative 32 degrees, which felt somehow warm after negative 55. It is indeed amazing what we adapt to.
Wow.
And I don't envy those who run in triple digit heat and would take negative 30 over 100 degrees any day. I love bringing Eddie and Sally along on the run.
Oh.
As those dark winter days seem a little brighter with the laughs and the encouragement. Mm. This picture is incredible.
Show it to me.
You can't even see like the face at all.
No way.
How awesome is that?
Oh my gosh. If you are listening,
so it, good.
She looks like a snowman.
Yeah.
You can't even see skin.
I know. And
her whole face has snow on it.
Yeah. All the comments. Well, I think she's got like something on her face, and that's all like ice.
So maybe it's
stuff,
like a buff that has ice and stuff.
It's hard to tell, but
it.
Yeah, the comments.
I would
are
be terrified
incredible.
If I saw you, my friend, running at me.
Totally.
Wow, that wins.
Well, yeah.
That wins the winter.
I think all the people in the comments were saying that as well. Like,
yeah.
That is just next level.
David Goggins
could
just step aside.
Next level.
And we need to introduce
Laura
to everyone.
Laura has arrived.
Laura from Alaska. 4 hours, too.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Strong, I take triple digits any day.
Strong
I love
body.
The heat.
Strong body. Let's check that off.
Yeah.
You got to be strong to run 4 hours in that. Strong mind, because
oh my gosh,
as soon
strong
as you step
love
out,
for running, dude.
That's right. That's what I was saying. And then the strong love for running is like, Come on, like at some point, woo, you have to be like, yeah, it's too cold. It's a little, or I should cut the run short. But
amazing.
Laura did it 4 hours.
I'm so impressed. Well,
very impressive.
Laura, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Thank you, everyone that is in the Facebook page. We have had so much fun keeping up with you guys, seeing your pictures, hearing your updates on what you're doing in your life and in training and in racing.
Yeah.
Make sure you head on over and join the group if you haven't yet. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. One of the relationships that I am most proud of in my life is the relationship I have with Eddie James McCray. And I'll tell you what, a common misconception about strong relationships is that they have to be easy to be right. You know, sometimes the best relationships happen when both people choose to put in the work to make them great. And I believe therapy can be a great place to work through the challenges you face in all of your relationships, whether with friends, work, your significant other, or anyone. In past experience, I have found that therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma or have major challenges in life. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit betterhelp.com/choosestrong today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/choosestrong. We are going to dive into some community questions.
Yes.
We have about 20 minutes left on the clock.
Wow.
Another tightly scheduled day, but we wanted to make sure that we answer some questions because Eddie asked the community,
yeah,
if they had any questions for us. So some of them are going to be a little bit more lovey-dovey.
Got some good ones here.
But then we'll do some other,
yeah,
other ones too.
All right. The first one I'm going to lead with is from Ross. He says, is golf gear a great Valentine's Day gift? Yes or yes? Ross, that's what I'm talking about.
Is this Ross from Colorado?
Yes.
Is this our buddy Ross? Oh, I'm so glad that you're listening, Ross. 100% yes.
100%.
Especially with Eddie.
Especially with
Eddie. Eddie's first Father's Day gift from Mackenzie was a golf club.
That's right.
You remember that?
I do. The putter. I still have that. Still use that.
Yeah. She was 3 months
old. Maybe that's why my golf game is not good.
We were in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
And yeah.
That's right.
So yes, 100% yes. All right. What's the next
one? Yeah, I like that one. All right. How long will you run together on Valentine's Day? Isn't it a perfect date?
Is it a perfect date?
Isn't it a perfect date?
I mean, should we get on treadmills next to each other at the gym and just like stare at each other side by side?
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. How long?
We have Isaiah's lacrosse game. Mackenzie has an appointment. I have 2 appointments. I don't know if we'll be doing any running.
Yeah.
I will be giving Eddie a customized training session today, just like we did yesterday. But we do need to go on a run. It's been a while since you and I went on a run. The secret is, you guys, when Eddie and I were in college and we were dating, we used to train together in the summers because we were both soccer players.
That's right.
And Eddie would absolutely beat me up in running.
Let's hear it.
In the dust. Eddie is very fast and was always one of the fastest ones on the team. He's got speed. So he would just hang out in the 6 minute
pace.
We'd go on these 3 and 5 mile runs and I would be much more tired than him. It's been a while.
That was fun, but yeah, yeah. That was a while ago. Let's see. Let's do. There's a simple one. Yeah. Where did you honeymoon?
Oh man, we honeymooned in Maui. It was our first time for both of us to Hawaii.
Yep.
And we went there for 10 days. Mm-hmm. And on our last night there, Eddie surprised me and took us to the Ka'anapali
The Grand Wailea.
Oh, I'm sorry. We stayed in Ka'anapali.
Yeah.
And then he surprised me and took us to the Grand Wailea, which we back then we believed in the money dance. We were like 22 when we got married, so yeah. We're 23. I can't even. Oh gosh, so many years now. But we had zero money, and so we absolutely did the money dance, and we were so blessed. And so Eddie thought, well, let's go and stay in this. It was the nicest hotel room we'd ever stayed in. I mean, the whole trip was like, we were like kids.
Yeah,
we were literally kids.
Literally.
Yes, Maui was amazing. And we had never, ever been back to Hawaii until last summer. We took the kids, and that was their first time. We didn't go to Maui. We went to the Big Island, but that was really special.
What was your favorite thing that we did?
Snorkeling.
Snorkeling? That was fun, yeah.
I'm not a great swimmer, and the ocean is so warm there, and
yeah, it's pretty,
and so clear, and the water is just so different. So that was really special. You don't see a lot of people snorkeling in Huntington Beach.
No,
Very different water.
Zero.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Nope. All right. So the next one. Any advice for newlyweds how to build a deeper relationship with each other? From Mariah.
That's a great question. I think you should answer that one first, because I think one of the, before you answer that, I do have to always put in there that, you know, Eddie and I, we've been together for so long. Marriage has not always been easy. We've had some really hard years. We've had some rocky years, years where we've needed to really work through things, and we've experienced a lot of growth. I mean, we were kids and turned into adults together. So you go through so much together, and so many life transitions. You know, having kids, you know, that's a whole new life transition, changing jobs, moving out of state. So I'd love for you to speak to this young couple, because the first year is amazing. I mean, it's exciting. It's, you're still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, I think advice and for newlyweds, how to build a deeper relationship with each other. I think, I mean, there's so many facets, right, to building a deep, friendship and marriage, and especially when you're newlyweds. But I feel that, you know, when you're starting out as newlyweds, it's so important to remember. I think you even mentioned that you're marrying another imperfect person, right? You're both not perfect. And once you have that in your mind, I think it's easy to forgive, and it's easy to let things slide. You have grace because, you know, you're living with someone that's not perfect. You're, you know, all the time, you're always with that person. And I think that is helpful to have that mindset. And then I think also to know that there's that sense of humility where you always want to put your spouse's interests above your others, above yourself, you know, before yourself. And I think you can't go wrong with that. You know, when you're always looking out for their interests before your own, you know, it's hard to not have a better relationship when it comes to that, right? Like you're thinking of them more often and their interests before yourself. And I think that's important. Trying to think.
Well, you do that really well. I think that just in and of itself that's not something that society necessarily rallies around. You know, a true love relationship, one that's deep, one that's lasting, you have to remember it's not about you.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult. We can say that in every facet of our life. If your intention with someone else, if you're going through a tough time in business, you're managing people, even as you are pursuing goals, you have to remember that your whole life is not just about you and fulfilling your desires 100% of the time and doing what you want to do. There are so many wonderful facets that are outward facing that have a lot to do with serving other people. I mean, that is where life is the most fulfilling. And I think parents can directly relate to this. Raising children, it is hard because a lot of the times it means we have to be unselfish. We have to put somebody else first.
Yep.
But then as those kids grow and we see what happens when you nurture and you love and you put put your children's needs in front of you, it is so fulfilling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that's what matters. And you've always been really good at that in our relationship. And I think that seeing your, I would love to add to it, just because Eddie and I start off as best friends. And I'd say that when times were tough and we were distanced from each other, that's what I missed the most was my best friend. And I think that understanding that, yeah, you have to do the everyday humdrum relationship stuff. You have bills to pay. You have to go to work. There's chores to be done around the house. Like, and sometimes those things can totally take up your whole day, where you're just kind of passing ships through the night. You're just getting everything checked off the list. And you forget, this person's my friend. Mm. This person's on my team. This is my best friend. Like, at some point in our dating relationship, this was the one that made me laugh the hardest. This is the person who every time I saw him put a smile on my face. This is the person who, when I thought about doing anything in life, I wanted them right next to me. Don't ever forget those things. Yeah. I think holding on to that, remember your initial feelings and why you were with that person, because those things will grow if you let them, if you water them. And I know for us, I mean, it took us 20 years before we got to work together full time. But I think one of the reasons why we work together so well is because we start off as best friends.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of little jobs and volunteer stuff together. And I always love that about us. Like, we could laugh through every job and every trip and everything. And yes, you and I do spend 24/7 together. And I love it. But we also understand too, okay, they need space, they need quiet time, they need to go work on their own. And so there's just that respect that we are two different people, but also I want to work so hard at our friendship, at loving each other and remembering that when I put you before myself, like, our relationship works so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to mention the friendship part too. That's a really important key.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's not easy to do any of those things. It's not easy to put someone else first, because at the core of us, we're selfish and we're prideful and it's all about us. Mm-hmm. And that's what the world and the culture speaks to, right? And and emphasizes and promotes. And in a marriage relationship, for it to deepen and blossom, it's the opposite of that, right? Mm-hmm. It's putting that other person, you know, first. And it's not easy. It's hard to do. So
yeah.
Next one is from, I don't know the name. I can't even pronounce it. But anyways, it says babies. How do you decide when's the right time?
Oh, they decide for you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm going to let you answer that one, because that one is, I don't know the answer. What do you think? When's the right time to have babies come in?
A lot of people say this, especially as we get older, and they say there's never a right time. You'll never feel ready.
Nope.
And I think it's like that with a lot of big goals or big decisions that we're making, like, when's the best time to move? When's the best time to go back to school and get this degree? Or when's the best time to, you know, ask this girl out? Or, you know, we get really hesitant because we want it to be perfect and understandable and to make sense. I mean, as humans, that's what we want. We want to be in control of the situation. Having kids takes a lot of control away from you. Even if you're a well-structured, organized person, you realize that humans aren't robots. And so as soon as those little babies come into your life, they have their own personality and their own way of doing things and seeing the world, and all these unique traits pop up. And it really forces you to take a look at your life and understand that, oh yeah, life is not going to be smooth and it's not going to be understandable all the time. I'm not always going to see where I'm going. Like, I think I remember when the kids were babies, and both our kids are, they're both March babies. Isaiah was born 2 weeks later. Mackenzie turned 2. So they're just about 2 years apart. And Mackenzie was especially tiny. And then Isaiah was a chunkier baby.
Yeah.
And so when I could carry both of them around for a year straight, like, on both hips. And I just remember thinking, this, I had a lot of days where I'm like, this is hard. This is like, I'm not ready for this. Yeah. I have two kids and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't, am I a good mom? Am I doing, like, how am I supposed to figure out all these things? I mean, I remember having a lot of days where when my kids were little, that's when I missed my mom so much. I just wanted her to pick up the phone and call me and tell me, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know, or let me come over and give you a break. Like, I longed for that so much. I think even to this day, I still miss that. Am I doing a good job as a mom? Like, I, you know, wanting that motherly advice, you know, in so many different stages, you know, in the kid's life to just come alongside me. So I think as we were planning on having kids, I remember very distinctly within a year of being married, you wanted to have kids and I didn't.
Right.
I was like, what? I don't want kids yet. So Eddie was ready right away. Eddie wanted to be a dad. He couldn't wait to be a dad. And I was more of like, whoa, like, let's wait a couple years and just get used to being married.
Yeah.
Like, let's figure out this thing first. So I think that's pretty common, too, for spouses to not be on the same page, for some to want kids later on in life. And I know that in marriage counseling before you get married, that's also a really good topic to talk about, you know, because sometimes couples get married and they find out that one never even wanted kids. So it's a very important thing to discuss. And to discuss all the things because, yeah, there's finances involved and, you know, schedules change. And sometimes a career has to take a backseat or one person has to start working part time. I mean, there are so many things that we had to figure out. And, you know, when I got pregnant with Mackenzie, I do know both of us at that time, we were so excited.
Yeah.
We absolutely couldn't wait to be parents. But I would be lying if I said we had things figured out and that we felt ready.
Yeah.
I mean, we brought her home and we're like, oh my gosh, she's so tiny. Like, we don't want her to break. We don't want her to die. Like, what do we do? Like, and it didn't matter how many magazines and books that I read. This is a unique human being that no one else gets to raise except you.
Yeah.
And I just think, and whether you bring home children through adoption, fostering, guardianship, they are all precious and they, and it all becomes a big learning curve.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if you want to add to that.
I just remember that I know a lot of people say this, but man, when that first time when putting her in that car seat, taking her from the hospital and putting her in that car seat and she was so, so like tiny,
And
she was so like little.
5 pounds, five, 10 ounces.
Yeah, just so, so tiny. You're putting her in this car seat and the car seat looked massive. But I just remember like driving away and, you know, having her in the back of the seat. And I was like, the best I've ever driven in my life. Like so cautious.
I'm gonna start crying.
But it was like, it was very surreal to know that, yeah, we're in charge of that human being behind us. Like that's really weird because like, two nights ago, we were just up late, you know, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't have a care or a worry about having a life that you're in charge of, in a sense, right? So, yeah.
Your whole life changes. Like, we pulled away from the hospital, and it was like, our lives were never the same.
Yeah, everything revolved around making sure she was safe and, you know, is she fed and what's wrong with her? She can't communicate. Like, you know, all of that becomes your focus, right? Yeah.
So and I think it's good too. I know people, we joke about this. Like if you're trying to figure out whether or not you're ready for kids, babysit, you know, or get a plan or get a dog.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the same. I spent a big portion of my life caring for kids, doing childcare and caring for children. It's so different when it's a child you're bringing into your home or a child that you've birthed. It's just a different story because no two humans are the same.
Yep.
And so, and even bringing home Isaiah, I mean, it was a whole nother, that was a whole new journey for us, you know, cause now we had one and now, you know, we had Isaiah and their personalities are so different, but like, I think just having conversations around kids is very healthy. Having the hard, asking the hard questions too, you know, bringing up the scenarios. Okay. So, you know, if we decide to do this, what's going to happen with finances and careers and, or are we going to stay in this house? Are we going to, I remember you and I were like, we have to get a family card. You wanted a van. And I was like, heck no.
Yeah,
we are not getting a van. I'm not a minivan mom. Gladly, no offense to anyone out there that is.
Gladly be the minivan dad. No problem.
I grew up with vans and I just did not want a van. Yeah. So
they're so convenient.
They are convenient.
Yeah. Anyways.
I mean, my favorite car is the VW bus. So, but I just did not want, like, all I picture is just the Dodge Caravan.
Yeah.
Slider doors.
Oh.
And five kids hopping out.
Telling you, I know I always bring this up, but one of my favorite cars is that Dodge Sienna van I had.
Oh my gosh.
That was the best.
Eddie's car broke down and the church donated the church van to him.
That was the best
vehicle. What he was
talking about
was a beat up piece.
It was awesome.
There were so many things wrong with it. And
but
he
was
so proud of it. I think why he was so proud of it was because he didn't have a car payment.
That, yeah. That was definitely part of
Wait, it's free?
Wait.
Yes.
$32 to buy the title at the DMV? I'm in. All right. We are running out of time, Sal.
I know.
And I have a whole bunch of great questions
here. We'll do a
part
two on this. I think we're going to have some really good discussions. So we'll definitely do a part two to today's discussion. A lot of questions came in. But let's end on a Valentine note, Ed.
Let's
I don't know if you have a question that's come in that we
Valentine's
can answer.
One? Like a quick one? Let's see.
Do you do quick?
Let's see. What do you do as a family for Valentine's? I mean, you talked about it already. We had a nice breakfast and just let the kids know that, hey, we love you. Mm-hmm. But remind us, what are we doing this weekend to celebrate our time with the kids for Valentine's Day?
I use holidays just as excuses to do stuff. But we are going to have a day in LA. Now, we're in Huntington Beach, so LA is literally like a different state for us.
Yep.
So, but the kids love it. I'm so grateful that the kids are like this, though, too. But they love shopping at the thrift store. And if you go to L.A., they have the Goodwill bins.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've talked about this on the podcast before. So the kids are stoked. We're going to take them to the Goodwill bins. We are going to go get some good food. And then we're going to go see a show at the Pantages Theater.
Mm-hmm.
The Wiz?
Yep.
Yeah, The Wiz. So the kids are stoked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy that we have two teenagers that still want to hang out with us.
Right.
And
so true.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what we're doing for Valentine's Day. We don't always do that. I remember when we were in Bend and it was COVID, you went and got some lobsters.
Oh yeah.
I think we've only done that like once or twice in our entire lives, like went and buy a lobster.
Yeah, those are super good.
And we did this big lobster dinner and we exchanged cards and we decorated the whole house and
yeah.
You know, really, it's just I really love just making the kids feel extra special.
Yep.
I know you love me, baby, and I don't need chocolate and jewelry and all that.
I was going to say, we need to wrap this up because I got to start making the breakfast for tomorrow morning for you.
Yeah. You got to start prepping.
Start prepping.
Got to start prepping that 4 a.m. breakfast. Yeah. Well, I just want to give a special shout out to our listeners who are braving the cold right now. They're out in the elements. You guys have been running this entire time listening to us. Thank you for taking us along. We're proud of you for doing the work. We're proud of you for just putting yourself out there and knowing that by the end of your workout, you're going to be a little bit better, a little bit fitter, a little bit stronger. And we hope that whatever the rest of your day brings, that it's a strong one and that you understand that whatever you're working toward is full of value and purpose. And to all of our parents who have been listening to us in the car, as you fold laundry, as you make some food, as you drive home from work, again, Eddie and I just love being in your ear and we love that you are a part of this community. We're going to continue this conversation in the next episode. So we hope that you will join us again. But for now, we want to encourage you to keep choosing strong in all that you do.